welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me are the Bryans, Brian Lagunas, and Brian Noyes.
Hi.
And we are at Build, and we're here on the set of Channel 9 Live to tape a Toolbox episode. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thanks for having us.
So, Mr. Lagunas, you are Product Manager at Infragistics.
I am.
Author.
Pluralsight. I'm sporting my Pluralsight gear.
Excellent. Mr. Noyes, CTO of Saliance, also Pluralsight author.
Yep.
And you guys are now the stewards of Prism.
Correct.
We are.
Which is what we are going to talk about today. We did a show on Prism, I think we had at least one, maybe two, a while ago. It's a MVVM framework for XAML. But let's review what it is for people that maybe aren't as familiar with it. Where did it come from? It was in Patterns and Practices, which is in Microsoft. This is where you worked on it. But now it is, you guys are taking it over, so.
It's now open source on GitHub.
Awesome. So walk us through kind of the history, how you guys wound up with it,
yeah,
why that's good, assuming
sure.
It's good.
I guess I'll start off since I'm the oldest on the project here in many ways.
Mature.
That's right.
Yes, that's what that gray is all about. So I got started with the Patterns and Practices team back when they started in early 2008, January 2008. And, you know, it started off as guidance to take people who are building for WPF and say, how do you do that in a maintainable, extensible, testable way, were the mm-hmm. high-level goals. And it really boiled down to applying patterns, well-known design patterns, to have good separation of concerns, loose coupling, those kinds of things. And it evolved over the years. There was Prism 1, Prism 2. They had other names back then. Composite Application Guidance was the official name at first. First one was just WPF.
Was there a 3 or did it go straight to 4?
Jumped to 4. It did that version alignment that a lot of people did in the .NET 4 days.
So, I think Windows just did that too, right? Did they just skip one?
Yeah, so now everything will be numbers. Maybe we should be Prism 10 instead of Prism 6.
We can align.
So there was one was WPF only, two was adding Silverlight, and then 4 was new features for both of those.
Okay.
And then 5 is the most recent release from Patterns and Practices before they handed it over for open sourcing.
And was that still just WPF, but there was also a Windows 8 version?
Is that right? It was a good point. So there was kind of a, you know, you can think of it as a branch conceptually, but it was a totally new code base for Prism for Windows Runtime is what it was called, targeting Windows 8 initially and then Windows 8.1. And then the last release that came out targeted universal apps and tried to target the phone somewhat unsuccessfully. Unfortunately, it was right in the phase that Patterns and Practices was not quite sure. These are my words, but maybe not quite so sure about their ongoing commitment to Prism at that point. And so they kind of pushed a version 2 release out that was supporting universal apps, but not everything really worked cleanly on phone. It still worked just as cleanly on Windows Store apps as the first releases of the Prism for Windows Runtime, but the phone was not quite mature. So that's one of our goals moving forward.
Okay, and then, so you guys now are running it?
Yeah,
just
so.
The two of you, are there more involved?
There are.
Well, there are others. Ariel Ben Horish, he's raised his hands as someone who wants to contribute, so he's part of the team.
Okay.
Obviously, he's not a Brian. But you know what? We accept all. Even if your name's not Brian, feel free to contribute.
That's awesome.
So about a month and a half ago, Microsoft released a blog announcing the change. It's being open sourced.
Mm-hmm.
It's on GitHub now. And roughly 7 days after Microsoft open sourced it, we actually released support for a preview for Xamarin Forms.
Yeah, cool.
So just...
we being him.
Yeah.
He's really leading
We're
that
all
charge.
A team. Okay. We're all a team. You know.
But so what are the... So right now it works well with Windows 8, 8.1, sort of not so well with phone.
Right.
We're now on to 10, and you did form, so... Where's it going? What are your goals, short run, medium run, long run?
Well, WPF has always been the heart of Prism, right? That's where it was born from, and that's where its most mature user base is at. So we will always have WPF as the core of Prism. That's it. But once we took hold of it, we've actually started restructuring Prism to be more cross-platform friendly, to where now we can start sharing common components and functionality across the multiple platforms. So we're in PCLs now, and platform-specific functionality exists in those platform assemblies now. So we've really changed the direction of Prism.
Okay. So how hard is that, given that the XAML and WPF is similar to but not the same as the XAML in Silverlight, which is similar to but not the same as the XAML in 8.8.1, the WinRT, which is pretty much the same as the XAML in Universal Windows platform, but is looks like, but is not the same XAML as the Xamarin Forms, and Lord knows how many other XAML implementations there will be now that it is once again recognized as the thing that people should be doing.
Well, the one thing to realize is that most of Prism doesn't show up in XAML at all anyway, because it's really about separating out all your logic and your supporting code into a good layered architecture behind the view.
Okay.
So, you know, Prism doesn't have any controls of its own, for example. There are a few things like attached properties and things that, that you will put into your XAML to tie into that behind the scenes infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And attached properties are common on all the XAML platforms. So the hooks that Prism uses are common. But what's different is the platforms themselves are different. So, you know, the reason we started with a clean code base for Prism for Windows Runtime is the design language was completely different. You know, the upfront guidance of what does an app look like? It's composed of pages that you navigate between in a full screen way in the 8.0 days. Yep. And so, you know, we kind of had to take a fresh look. Prism for WPF originally was for these big complex enterprise apps with lots and lots of nested views and pop-up dialogues and, you know, crazy complexity that was standard in that day. So they you really have to start with the platform and say, what does the platform kind of guide you in the direction of building, and then how do you use Prism to help you build good maintainable code on top of that. Mm-hmm. And that's why we've been holding off, you know, since we've taken over the project, a lot of people have been asking, well, you know, are you going to release something new for Prism for Windows Runtime? And our general answer has been, absolutely, once we know what that is.
Yep.
We had to wait for this conference here at Build to really, you know, get the full developer story and get a sense of how is it different from Windows 8, which we already have guidance for, and how do we need to tailor that guidance, you know, to move it into the Windows 10
arena.
So
will you backfill Phone 8.1?
I don't know that we will backfill Phone 8. Partly it's resources. We're an open source project.
Yep.
Community, you know, wants to jump in and help us with that. We have, you know, a certain amount of time we can each contribute to the project, but we need the community to jump in and help with certain things like that. So if there's enough demand and people willing to help out with it, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and I'd like to mention that Prism 5, the release of Prism 5 actually dropped support for Silverlight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can see going forward, we will probably concentrate our efforts on the new Universal Windows platform, and not so much be concerned with 8.0 or 8.1, but really staying in line with the vision of Microsoft going forward with their stores, with their story.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've also definitely discussed and have as a goal there in terms of targeting Windows 10 is that when we did the Windows 8 guidance, partly because of the design guidance and the constraints of the platform, we intentionally left out things that were in WPF version of Prism. And so some of those features we'd like to consider at least bringing over, specifically something called modularity and regions, are two major chunks of functionality in Prism for WPF that we just, in the Windows Runtime version, we said, it's not really appropriate there. But I think with the change of direction in terms of the user experience and the windowing and the allowed complexity of the UIs, if you want to go in that direction, there's probably a place there for modularity and regions moving forward.
So is it going to get more complex, less complex, stay the same?
I would hope it would stay the same, or, you know, you get always looking to be better,
right?
But it's more that there will be more things you can opt into. And Prism itself, even with WPF, that was one thing that, you know, often it would get a bad rap of being, you know, too big, too complex, too heavyweight, those kind of terms. But it was really more, you know, a set of optional things that you can opt into and leverage in your app.
I think a lot of the frameworks are designed like that, but it's not. I have found that it's never really clear how you just use some of the pieces and not all of the pieces, and then to use all of the pieces is quite a bit of learning. Whereas if you just want to use some of them, it's not always immediately obvious how you do that.
Right.
And I'm always curious when someone says, "Oh yeah, Prism's big, it's bulky." Well, explain that to me. What do you mean it's big and bulky? Is it just difficult to learn, difficult to get started with? Is it the actual assembly size? Is it the feature set? I mean, And sometimes they can't even answer
that. Well, anything when you're first new to it is big and bulky. Right. Any framework is new, is big and bulky if you're new to it until you find out what are the five things I need to do and all the rest of it's optional.
Right, because if you break Prism down, it's really quite simple. There's only, you know, a handful of core concepts that you will use throughout a Prism app. Yeah. And once you know them, you know them.
Right.
But one key concept that, you know, we often get questions about is that people just starting out on the platform, whether WPF or Windows Runtime, and they think they need to start with Prism. And you know, our answer is no. We presume you first know the platform.
Yeah.
Then you use Prism to write code that is, you know, well-structured and maintainable on that platform.
Right. But if you're going to use the MVVM pattern, you can get so far writing it yourself.
Right.
But then after that, once it starts getting complex, it's like, okay.
Well, and you start getting a lot of duplicate code is you know, one of the things that drives you towards a framework.
And it's dive into the deep end, and it's not clear how you go from beginner to expert. It's not clear where the intermediate ground is,
right?
I think.
And especially with the WPF, you know, the two features I mentioned, modularity and regions, are the more complex things. You know, you really got to understand, you know, things like dependency injection and, and layers of separation and, you know, composition as a way of going about building an app. Not just a, you know, drag and drop, double click, and go from there. Yeah.
Right.
Whereas, you know, another entry point into Prism is just MVVM on its own.
Yep.
And say, I just need a framework to support me for that. There's other great frameworks out there. There's MVVM Lite, there's Caliburn Micro. I always forget the second term there. You know, they're focused first and foremost on MVVM as well. MVVM Lite sticks to just that. Prism doesn't. Prism has these other things you can opt into if they make sense for you, and Caliburn is similar, that it has other things it does as well.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's see some code.
Yeah, I would love to kind of show what we've been working on for our Xamarin Forum support.
Okay.
So I got a quick demo. We're going to kind of walk through and create something.
Excellent.
Right? So what we have here is I just went ahead and did file new. This is a Xamarin Forums project. I went ahead and stubbed out some views. So this
was just announced here at this show. Now supports Windows 8.1 and Phone 8.1.
Yep. Awesome.
Nice. Big thumbs up.
Yep. So you can see the version I'm using is not that version. The version I'm using supports Windows Phone 8.
Okay.
Right. But anyone who's created a Xamarin Forms application, this will look very familiar to them. Okay. I have a view called Main Page. I have a view called View A. And they have corresponding view models, right? So one big difference when you're getting started using Prism and Xamarin Forms is in your app.cs, you're not going to be setting your main page here. So this will go away. But before we can really start even getting into this, we got to know, how do we get Prism into the app? How do we start utilizing this? So right now, we have a preview on NuGet. Okay, so what you want to do is you want to search for prism.forms, and then you see this little drop down, include pre-release.
Yep.
That has to be on include pre-release, because this is a early preview, just trying to get some feedback from the community. You select that. Once that's in there, you're going to go ahead and add that to all the projects in the solution. Okay, so that's how we add the assemblies to our project. Now, once we have all that done, we're going to go ahead, we're just going to delete that. So we have an empty app. Now, you have to create what's called a bootstrapper class. Okay, this is a concept that came over from WPF. And what the bootstrapper does is it basically initializes all the services that you're going to be utilizing in the framework. Okay, it just does it automatically. You don't have to worry about anything. And it relies on inversion of control using container like Unity. So by default, in the preview, we're relying on Unity. Mm-hmm. But when we release, you're going to use any container you want, Ninject, Structure Map, AutoFact, whatever you want to use, okay? But in the preview, yeah, you're stuck with Unity. When you create this bootstrapper, you have two abstract methods you can override. We'll get to the register types later on. But this one right here, create main page, this is where you want to return the instance of your root page.
Okay,
so in this case, I'm just returning main page. That's all it is. But let's say you wanted to have a navigation page. Well, then you could come in here and say, hey, new navigation page, and return that instead, right? You're not locked down to this. And the reason I'm saying container.resolve instead of like return new main page is because we're using a container. And if my main page has a constructor that requires dependencies, that container will resolve those dependencies for me automatically.
Okay.
Okay, so once you have that, you can go back into your app. And we're just gonna say bootstrapper equals a new bootstrapper. And we're just gonna call run on it. That's it. Okay, now the bootstrapper went ahead and initialized a ton of services that we're gonna be utilizing. So we're done here, we can just close this out. Now let's take a quick look at our main page. I have a very simple layout. Mm-hmm. It's just a label that's binding to a value, so we're using MVVM. And then we have a button that's gonna do some navigation, it's gonna navigate to the other view, okay? So normally what you would do if you're not using an MVVM framework, you would do something like this. You would go in your code behind, you would set the binding context, because in Xamarin Forms, it's binding context, not data context.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're gonna set that to an instance of your view model. But I really am not a fan of code behind, so I'm gonna delete that. With Prism, what you're gonna do is you're going to use what's called a view model locator. And we've talked about this before, and I think it was Tech Ed New Orleans,
yep,
where I talked about the Prism view model locator. And just to review, the Prism view model locator is different than most of the view model locators out there. Normally what you do with view model locator, you'll create a class, and then it'll be a static class, and then for every view model you have, you're gonna create a property, a static property, and then so your scaling is really a pain in the butt, because every time you add a new view with a new view model, you gotta open up that class, add the property, do your static binding, we don't wanna do that. Instead, and I'm using ReSharper to help me out, so when you see things just kinda magically working, yep, it's ReSharper. So I'm gonna say, hey, view model locator, auto wire view model equals true. And based on convention,
right,
it knows, hey, this the name of this view is main page, so I'm gonna go look for main page view model.
Yep.
And it's gonna use your container to resolve that automatically. So once again, if your view models have dependencies, iPerson service or whatever, those will be resolved automatically for you. You don't have to create those, okay?
And just to point out for people who might have been exposed to this in Prism 5, you know, what he just mentioned, that the container will be used automatically. Mm-hmm. You know, these are some of these incremental things we're already doing with the Prism code base that, you know, we both had our own sort of wish lists as we took it over of things we wish they had gotten into Prism 5 or even previous versions. And so there's lots of little fine-grained things like this that we're adding in right away. You know, fixing some problems with namespaces and yep, the XAML and things like that. But this is one that Brian, you know, had the idea for that I really like, is if you're already using a container, then just use it,
right,
to do the view model construction. In Prism for Windows runtime, where this was first introduced, it was you always had to go write that. It was only, you know, one override with a line of code in it, but you had to do that every time.
Right.
And so now we're doing that by convention.
Cool.
Yep, and if you don't like the convention, you can change it. You're not married to it by any means, okay? So here's the main page view model. We're using a bindable base class from Prism. Mm-hmm. All it does is implement the iNotify property change. So you can see I'm using that on the value property. It's called set property. And it just passes it in and it checks for equality. And if they're not equal, it sets the value and calls notify property changed automatically. We have a navigate command, which means we're gonna be navigating to something.
Yep.
This is what we're data bound to. And I'm just using a timer to just randomly increment the value randomly, just so we can see something in the UI. Okay, so if I were to run this as it is right now, as you can see, nothing's gonna really happen. We're just gonna see the value update. We can see the value updating as expected. So that means that the view model locator went, found the view model, set the binding context for us automatically, and we're connected,
yep,
and data bound. We're all hooked up. Perfect. So now let's implement that navigation, okay? So first off, the navigate command is bound to what's called a delegate command.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Prism command. Now, Xamarin Forms has their own command, but if you're a Prism user, you're already familiar with this. We also have concepts such as iActiveAware that our commands take advantage of. That's for another talk. We'll come talk about that later. That's really cool. So I'm gonna go ahead and I want to navigate to view A. Okay, and view A looks just like main page.
Yep.
We have a value that we want to display. So we already kind of get a hint that we're going to be passing some parameters around. And then we're going to be going back to the previous view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all built for us. What I want to concentrate on, what does it take to navigate using Prism? Because if you're using Xamarin Forms, you're using code behind. You would add a click event to the button, then you're using the navigation, pop modal, push async, push modal, and then you're adding a page instance to navigate to.
Right.
Well, that's a problem in MVVM. We can't do that.
Code behind.
You can't have instances of pages in your view model. You just can't have it. So we need a mechanism to create a mapping, right? So when I navigate to something, I know how to find it. So we want to navigate to view A. I know that. So the first place I have to go is to my bootstrapper. Remember that register types?
Yep.
This is where we're going to create that connection. We're going to say, hey, container, I'm going to register a type for navigation of type view A. And what this is doing is it's registering view A in the framework using the name of the class, view A, as the key, the unique identifier. If you didn't like that, you can override that special key with whatever you want. You can just say A.
Okay.
It's whatever you want it to be, but it has to be unique. So now that I have that, we're back in our view model. Now we need to navigate. So how do we navigate from a view that we have no access to? Well, we have a nice little interface called iNavigation Service Aware. As soon as your view model implements that, you have navigation. Navigation service dot navigate, and we're using the convention, so it's view A. That's it.
Nice.
But let's say that I want to pass a parameter to where I'm going, right? Because you got to have data. What you do now in Xamarin Forms is you have like a static view model, like an application view model, and you save state. You don't want static in your view models because it makes them very difficult to test, right? So we want to actually pass those parameters as an instance. So we have navigation parameters that we can use. And I'm just going to say we got to give it a key, ID, and then I'm going to pass the value. You know that property we're incrementing randomly? And I'm just going to go ahead and pass those parameters in just like that.
Okay.
So let's go ahead. I'm going to run the app. So now the expectation is whenever I click navigate to view A, whatever value is here, we're going to navigate to the next view, and there it is.
Nice.
Okay. Now, I'm going to hit to go back. This is already wired up. We'll look at the code. I'm going to hit go back. Now we're back to the view. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, let's go look at the view A view model. I want to point out this interface, iNavigation Aware. Okay, this is a concept from WPF. And what this does is right now it has two contracts on it, onNavigated from, onNavigated to. So if your view or view model implement this interface, it can participate in the navigation process. And you have access to those parameters. So I pass in an integer. The key was an ID. So I set this property to that parameter. And that's what updates the view. Pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
So I'm also using the navigation service on my go back to just call go back. So that's basically going to pop the view and go back to the previous one that's in the stack automatically for you. But watch what happens when I do this. So let me run this app again. I hit a breakpoint on that on navigated from. So I'm going to navigate to. So we came in and navigated to. Property was set. I'm going to go back, navigated from. Okay, we're there. We didn't pass any parameters, but go back, boom, we hit it. Now, I want to point out one thing before I get away from this. Is we also have another interface called iConfirm Navigation, which basically adds another contract that says can navigate. Am I even allowed to navigate away from this view?
Mm-hmm.
You can now use business logic to control that.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I'm going to wrap up with one more thing. Messaging. PubSub events. Okay. This is extremely useful, especially in WPF. It's highly used. And I brought it over to Xamarin Forms because currently Xamarin Forms has a messaging center, but it's a static class. And like I said, you don't want static in your view models, right? Can't have it, they're hard to test. So you see in this view model, I'm asking for the iEvent aggregator.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't new this up. Did you see me new up anything anywhere?
No.
No, this is because the view model locator is using a container, and it realizes, oh, that class needs an event aggregator. I know what that is. I'm just going to give it to you, right? So now I can get this. I have an event called the goback event, and I'm publishing it, and I'm just sending some data with it, a payload, right? So that means I can go back to my main page view model, and I can ask for the IE event aggregator, right? And let's go ahead and subscribe. So we'll say event aggregator, we'll get the event. It was called the go back event. And we're just going to subscribe to that. And we'll call it went back, works for me. Do a little resharper magic. And I'm just going to hit a breakpoint to keep it simple. Here's the app. We'll navigate to. We're going to go back. And there we go. And here's our payload.
All right.
Right? So you can have multiple publishers, multiple subscribers, and you are testable. You can mock that event aggregator in your tests.
Cool.
And there's a lot more inside of Prism for Xamarin Forms, but that's just a quick and dirty.
So very cool. What you're showing us is features in Prism for Xamarin Forms.
Prism for Xamarin
but
Forms.
Not Prism for the other platforms. How are you going to create features in Prism as opposed to features in the individual flavors of Prism?
Those things that we can, we're putting in a PCL, a portable class library.
Okay.
But you know, anytime it needs to reference something that's platform specific, we can't do that. So we have a platform specific version in the new Prism 6 out on GitHub. We've got a new repository where we've rearranged things a little bit from what was in Prism 5.
Okay.
So we're still using PCLs to put all the common code in a core library type of thing. And then we have the platform specific versions.
So what you just showed is not specific to, I mean, that pattern's not specific to Xamarin Forms, right?
No, it's actually ported over from WPF specifically.
So is that in the PCL or is that?
So commanding, event aggregation, view model locator, that is all in the core PCL.
Okay.
The only thing that I showed here that's not is the navigation. That is Xamarin Forms specific.
But it's similar to what's in the Windows runtime.
But the concept is not, right?
Right.
Yeah, the concepts are not.
So why wouldn't that wind up being something that I would be able to use everywhere, or would it?
You know, at a high level, it seems like you should be able to, but just the way Xamarin wants to deal with pages and containment of pages is a little different from Windows runtime, at least in Windows 8.
Okay.
Still got to spin up now on Windows 10 ourselves. But and then WPF, yes, they had a navigation framework, but Prism didn't really use it. They used regions as a navigation construct.
Okay.
So this is where we have some work to do to try to come to a common base as much as we can, but there's always going to be platform specifics.
So you would design the functionality, design the pattern, and then you would say, can we write this code once? If so, goes in the PCL. If not, then you have to write it multiple times and implement it for the specific platform.
Right.
And then we as users have to hope that if it goes in one place, it goes in all the rest, right?
Yep. Okay. So like I mentioned before, the core logic that was in Prism for Windows runtime, if we have time, I can do a quick demo here.
Sure.
Okay. So if we can switch to my monitor there, I'm going to run here there's kind of a big sample app that comes with each version of Prism. And this was the AdventureWorks shopper that came with the Prism for Windows runtime stuff. I won't run through it all, but it's got a whole end-to-end application with adding things to carts and checking out and putting in addresses, validation, really good sample, just from a Windows Store app perspective.
Right.
But it's all built out with full separation of MVVM, leveraging all the things that were in there. But as I mentioned, that release, we had to, we targeted the navigation paradigms of Windows runtime. And it's similar to what the Xamarin one is doing, but there's little nuances and differences to the way Windows Runtime does it from Xamarin.
Yep.
It doesn't use regions because we decided that was an extensibility mechanism that wasn't really appropriate to the Windows Store app paradigm at that point. That's something, again, we'd like to bring in the future. So, but some of the primary constructs here, if I dump out of this and you dive through the code, there's base classes, just get rid of that. You dive through here and you can see we had full separation of the view models are down here in one library, the views are up here in a total separate library. It gives you more testability of those view models. And you dive into some of these, like the code behind here, this one we went with a base class kind of approach because we had to tie into some of the state management and navigation of the Windows platform for when you suspend, for example.
Right.
Those are things that don't apply at all to WPF because you don't suspend.
Right.
So there's things like that that we'll always have to do different. You know, Windows 10 is much closer to the Windows runtime stuff.
Yep.
Than it is to the WPF stuff.
Right.
So I think our starting point for the Windows 10 stuff that we're going to try to, you know, iterate on this as rapidly as we can, start with MVVM, get the basics there, get that out there, and then look at possibly bringing the regions and modularity features back over from WPF into the Windows 10 environment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, we're moving, man. We're moving.
Cool. So where can people go to get it, use it, talk to you, contribute, in that order?
Go out to github.com/prismlibrary. There's a few repos out there, but the main one to focus on is the Prism repo itself. That's where we're doing all the work moving forward. And you'll see in here, if you drill down to the source, you'll start to see these different versions for WPF, Xamarin, and so on.
Okay.
And we'll start cleaning that up as we focus in on our story going forward as well.
Yep. So people can go out there, contribute issues, you know, have the discussions there. Stack Overflow also encourage people to, you know, we'll try to monitor that as well for this.
And you're fully open so anyone can contribute. You're encouraging
Absolutely.
People to come
in. We've actually had a number of pull requests.
Cool.
So the community's already getting involved, and it's a great time to be a .NET developer.
Yeah, excellent.
It really is.
All right, cool.
Great.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks
Absolutely.
For having us.
Definitely.
All right, hope you guys enjoyed that, and we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.